Welcome to the Hostile Zone.
Use your voice and nobody hears you.
Welcome to the Hostile Zone. You're with the infamous and dangerous and always in your face, pulling back that curtain on waste, fraud, and abuse in the government and police misconduct. Welcome to the Hostile Zone. We need a ticker. Welcome to the Hostile Zone. You're with Eric Andrew Sinati. Eric A. Sinati, Big A, Eric Sinati, one and only, of course, coming at you every day of the week. Miss Bianca C. S. E. A. is not with us today, but I understand should be with us back on the show, recording whatever she's working on within the next couple of weeks because of the launch of the new show, folks. So with that, if you are watching on the cable network, Roku, or any of the other streaming services that air our show, on your ticker screen is the information for today's show. Also, the contact information, thehostilezone@bbstalkradio.com, thehostilezone@bbstalkradio.com, eric@thehostilezone.com, eric@thehostilezone.com, Bianca C. S. E. A. @bbstalkradio.com. And also, you can always get me at eric@ericandrewsanati.com. Welcome to the show. Always a thank you to my listeners and viewers. If you're not getting us on your TV, demand it. We're on a lot of the cable network channels, moving from Central to the West Coast and on FM radio and all the internet ones and iHeart, et cetera, everywhere else. But we are growingly building our cable providers. So if you're not getting it, demand it. But check us out. Okay, folks, as always, you know I have a passion for the youth of America. We talk about juvenile justice and criminal justice and prevention systems and all that. Well, you know, my heart comes from New Jersey is too. I'm a Jersey native, actually a Hudson County, originally native family from Hudson County, New Jersey. There is a program that I wanted to highlight on this show here, and I want everybody to hear it on all 2,300 networks that were aired in all 55 countries, really targeting our people in New Jersey. But this is for everybody that wants to get involved with a nonprofit who helps our future. The name of the program is called Project 201. For those of you who don't know, that's the famous area code of Northern New Jersey. I love my 201. They have a magazine called 201. So Project 201 is very relevant. The gentleman's name is Sean Kelly. He is a correctional police officer. And let me identify in case people don't understand what that is. A correctional police, meaning he's a fully sworn law enforcement officer working in Hudson County Corrections. That's in, I believe, Kearney or Secaucus, Kearney, New Jersey, in Hudson County. But they say correctional police officer because I want everybody to understand he's a fully sworn officer with the same jurisdiction and authority as any other law enforcement officer in the state of New Jersey. With that, my opening monologue. Today, we're going to be shining a light, the power of mentorship in tackling juvenile delinquency. I have personal experience with this on both sides. So this is a passion that I've been with my entire life. And I am so excited because we're going to focus on Project 201. It is a groundbreaking initiative led by a Hudson County native, a good old Hudson County boy like myself. He's from JC, I believe, Jersey City. We'll be getting him on in a minute. He is a correctional police officer at the Hudson County Department of Corrections. And his leadership of blending sports and mentorship is instrumental in transforming the lives of at-risk youth. And that's what we're talking about. At-risk youth could be any population that's at risk, meaning that they are in a community that's maybe the diversity is different, minorities, whatever it might be, single parent household. I know that Sean and I really have a thing about having a father in the household. We're going to talk about that. So let's get to the relevant famous quote of the day. And then I believe my executive producer has Sean available with us. The relevant quote of the day: it is easier to build a strong, to build strong children rather than repair broken men. Wow. Wow, folks. You heard it here. It is easier to build strong children rather than repair broken men. Frederick Douglass, this quote captures the essence of Sean Kelly's vision with Project 201. It's in to empower and support the youth before they fall into negative influences. Now, Kerry, do we have him with us? Welcome to the show, Sean. What's up, buddy?
Eric, thank you for having me today.
Oh, dude, it's an absolute pleasure. I have some statistics to go over, but let's just chat for a minute here, okay? We both go way back in with history in Hudson County and New Jersey. We have a very similar, we have a lot of friends, common friends, and we have a lot of similar ideas. And your program is just one of the finest ideas. And, you know, we've spoken a lot recently about sponsorships and stuff. Tell me, because we have the passion, tell me why you are still a law enforcement officer, but why are you and your family giving so much time to this project? What brings you here?
Well, I guess you could say really my insight of being a correctional officer and getting to talk to these men and women on a daily basis.
Really?
Hearing their stories, taking the time to hear their stories.
Right, which nobody does. Which nobody does.
Right. Right. So how that got into play was I ended up meeting a few kids along this journey, and one of them had no mother, no father. And I just thought to myself, wow, how many inmates could have been this kid who 16 years old, sophomore.
Was he in the system, this kid you met?
No, not in the system.
He wasn't. Okay.
Sophomore, straight A student, very well spoken, very respectful.
So what made him different than a lot of the other kids, right?
Right. So I knew somewhere along that way, right, that kid turned into a man who probably went left.
You heard my opening quote, right? You heard my quote of the day?
Yes, sir.
How great is that, right? Frederick Douglass, too. You know, he was obviously big in the abolitionist movement. He was friends with Abraham Lincoln,
which I have.
If you're looking on my wall, that's actually a handwritten letter of Abe Lincoln written to somebody who gave their life in the Civil War.
Right.
So I'm a huge fan.
For me, for instance, where I grew up in Jersey City, right?
Where in JC, brother? Waterfront, where are you at?
Greenville section.
Nice. Cool.
So, you know, growing up where I grew up, it was very showing that I had both parents in my life with everything that we went through, especially being white in a predominantly black area and being in the hood.
Right. No, yeah. We have similar histories with that.
Stuff, you know, friends and family and all the stuff we went through, whether it was school, especially with the boy, being a boy, because we all know how boys are in school, you know, very difficult to deal with. And it took a real toll on me ever since I became a correctional officer.
Right. And I think that we have a picture to share of you in uniform, I believe, correct? So you're working in the jail, and people don't know the difference between prison and jail. And I talk about this a lot. You know, jail is 364 days and less. Not everybody's guilty in jail.
Right.
There might be a way, they might not be able to afford bail, which I've written about bail reform plenty of times. So jail is a whole different place, but your particular jail is very rough. You've had some very big profile people there over the years, and it's a rough jail, right?
I mean,
my experience from going through there working, I've seen it looks different than Bergen County.
Every jail has its bad moments because there are criminals in there, right? So,
right, I don't want you to get in trouble. We'll edit anything out that says bad. I don't want to do that to you.
Oh, yeah, no, you're good.
How many years have you been a law enforcement officer?
I've been on the job for 5.5 years.
That's total at the same position?
Yes, I got into the profession when I was a little older. So I've been taking the police test since I've been 18.
I wanted to learn about you and learn like where you came from with this.
I always wanted to be a police officer, especially growing up where I grew up. I had a lot of friends that dibbled and dabbled into the, you know, not so good world. But when, but when we
hung out, could go either way in that area, right?
We hung out, I made sure, like my father would tell me, make sure nobody got no drugs in the car, no, nothing illegal, because you're gonna get in trouble.
Right.
So I knew whenever I drove around, we weren't gonna get in trouble, but we still got harassed by police. So being white in the neighborhood I was from, I always wanted to become a police officer to show people like, yo, everybody's not like what we see on TV or whatever. You know, I just had that.
Let me ask you a question, Sean, and it's very related to this. Was there one particular incident when you were younger that reflected so highly upon the profession that made you look up and say, this is what I need to do to make sure that that experience I had, other children have? It's obviously something happened that you want to make change.
Not in a good way. Not in a good way.
No, but it's something that makes you who you are. That's right. What I'm saying. So would you like to share that?
You don't have
to go into details. You could just say
growing up, we had a few officers that always harassed, that knew us, maybe a few years older than us, but got on a job young. A long story short, one night, an officer in uniform in a regular car, like a Jeep, dropped two kids off 3 a.m. They must have been watching us, which was crazy to me.
Don't say the towns or anything.
We did whatever we did. We ended up taking off and I got pulled over because I ended up driving. I always drove everybody home at the end of the night.
Right. And you weren't drinking or nothing, but you were the white kid coming out of the intersection. Right. Yeah, I know.
So when I got pulled over, I told the cop who pulled me over, I said, yo, such and such in his uniform let two kids out of the car and tried to jump us. And he looked at me and he looked back. He looked at me and he was like, get out of here. And it was just like, God forbid something else could happen. And I was blessed because my father was a firefighter. So I always
I was on the fire department my whole life too.
So I always threw that out there. Like, hey, listen, my father's on the job. My father's a firefighter. Right. And that kept me out of some stuff too, just because of respect for my father. But yeah, I never liked anybody being bullied. I never liked anybody taking advantage.
Yeah, it's terrible. So let me hit through some statistics and we'll chat about it. But folks, we got to take a short commercial break. Don't go anywhere. Otherwise, I'm going to send Sean and all the kids he's mentoring to come and find you and drag you back to iHeartRadio. Don't go anywhere. Ever thought about turning your spare change into serious investments? Let me introduce you to Acorns. This app makes investing as simple as one easy swipe of your credit or debit card. With Acorns, every purchase you make rounds up and invests the difference. Watch your future grow one swipe at a time. Start small, dream big. With Acorns, every bit adds up to something significant. Download Acorns today, acorns.com/share, or use your smartphone camera and scan the QR code on the screen, or enter my referral code 56XJQPC. Again, referral code 56XJQPC and get $5 for free, compliments of me, to start investing today just by downloading the app. Download Acorns now. I'm Eric A. Sonati, the host of the syndicated radio TV talk show, The Hostile Zone, right here on iHeartRadio. Welcome back, folks. Welcome back. I always appreciate when you hang out over after commercial because somebody's got to pay the bills. All right, so we got Sean with us here from Project 201. If you're just catching up into the show, we're going to talk about some statistics about juvenile justice and delinquency in the United States and how that is impacting New Jersey and how Project 201 is going to combat that and how I truly believe they have to really execute this. The decline of juvenile arrests. Between 2010 and 2019, juvenile arrests in the United States have decreased by 58%. Yet, there's always a yet, youth incarceration is still on the high level of issues that are affecting society. I find that to be fascinating. So I think, and those know that watch the show and listen, I teach criminal justice as well. The criminal justice is like a funnel, like a cake, you know, and it's a big bottom of the base of the cake. Well, flip the cake upside down. It's like a funnel now, okay, your birthday cake. The bottom part is everybody entering criminal justice. The actual people that get to the top of the cake, the end of the funnel that drip out, is like very, very few and far between, because most get pled out, plea deals, all kinds of, you know, dismissals and all kinds of diversions. So very a limited amount of people fall in. So when they're talking about the decline of arrests, we're talking about the top part of people coming in. The reason why I say it still remains an issue, because those numbers that are going to be incarcerated, who are going to spend time in a juvenile correctional facility, is not dropping down. That's the fact that we want to talk about. Were you aware of that, Sean, that the actual arrests nationwide between that time frame, based on the Department of Justice studies, showed the decline in people being taken into custody, arrested, or New Jersey taken into custody, right? They're not arrested youth. The actual number is down who's coming in, but not down who's in the system. Were you aware of that statistic?
No, I wasn't. That's
alarming a little bit, right?
Yeah, thinking about it, because I was reading something that said the juvenile justice detention centers are down like 30%, something like that.
And, you know, now I'm going to put my public administrator hat on, my master of public administration. That, I believe, a lot of times is a political issue and a budgetary issue on who is actually going to be in JDC, juvenile detention centers, at the county level.
Right.
You know, they'll put on home detention, ankle brace, you know, all this stuff that they have to keep their numbers down. I remember Juvenile Justice Commission of New Jersey. That was a big issue on how many numbers. And part of my job when I worked in New Jersey at the specific place I work, I had to keep the daily monitor of how many people were in JDC. And we called it a snapshot every day. And I would call a specific one and find out how many people do you have in right now? That's kind of like what you're trying to stop. And that's what we were working towards then, was to not have to do that, because they have programs like yours that avoid altogether from getting there.
The thing that blew my mind from the work that I was doing, working with these kids in the juvenile justice system, was, you know, I was getting a paper and it was telling me a little bit like an assessment about the kid, and every house I went into, what I was reading didn't match the kid.
Really? Can you give an example without giving a name? I'd be interested, because, you know, I have experience there too in New Jersey. I'd love to hear this.
Just pretty much giving you a rundown about how the kid is and his behaviors and his actions and everything like that. And then when you go meet the kid, they're very polite, quiet.
Let me guess. Everything said oppositional, defiant, right?
Right. So
you read that everywhere.
It was to the point that I had to bring one of my team members with me to a house, because this family was from Columbia. So I needed a translator with the mother, and I said, hey, read this, and then let me know what you think when we leave, if that matches the child. And as soon as we left, it was, I can't believe that. Like, that kid was well-spoken. He just came from another country.
Was he a minority? He was a minority, right? He was Colombian himself?
Yep.
Let me ask you, without specific agency name, but I'm interested, the idea, who wrote the report, and how did you get the referral?
Well, I was working, because I still don't have a contract, but I was working for another organization that had a contract through, I believe it's Hudson CMO, because I know in Hudson County, Union County, Bergen County, they all have CMOs. And
yeah, Bergen, they call it a community a management organization.
Right.
They used to be run directly by the county, and then they contracted in these companies to run the wraparound money.
Right. So I was getting a lot of
experience. I probably know the program you worked for, but we won't say it on the air.
So yeah. I got a lot of experience, right? And it just kept making me more hungry to do this work, because I'd seen the need, one, for male role models in the community.
Right.
Two, father figures in the community, and then men with backbone that are going to say, no, this is how it's got to be.
That was Kate. Why don't you say that again for everybody to hear you? What is important? Because I know what I needed as a kid, and you obviously know what you needed too.
A man with a backbone, because I could tell you, I got away with a lot of stuff when my dad was at work, right? But he also was telling me, like, listen, you know, I'm coming home from work.
You knew how it was going to go down later.
When I come home from work, we're going to have a talk. Right.
Do we not grow up more fear of our family than the police?
Yeah.
Being driven home from the police. That was terrible.
And it wasn't fearful like you were going to like turn and have a mental breakdown. It was fearful because, you know, you messed up. You know, you're going to get disciplined.
You know, you earned
and
it.
Right. You're going to pay for it. This is why we didn't want to go to jail, because we were taught that when we were kids. Hey, listen, if you mess up, you might get a crack on the back. right? And now I don't agree with being physical. I don't think that you have to be physical.
Let me interject on that with the law, just so we cover it out there. In New Jersey, under New Jersey state statute, corporal punishment is legal in the state of New Jersey, meaning parents, you can use a level of physical deterrence with your child.
Really?
Up until the point of leaving a mark. When you leave a mark, now you violated the Child Protective Services.
But you can't discipline your kid. Okay, I like that to that extent.
As a parent, not right. Like I went to Catholic school and it was loco parentis, meaning the school had parental control and they used to be able to do whatever. Now they can't do that. But in New Jersey, you can. You can discipline your child. Some places it's illegal. I'm all for it. On that note, we're going to take a short break. Don't beat your kids during the break, folks. Otherwise, I'm going to send Sean looking for you. Don't go anywhere.
At the Ramrod Law Firm, we understand the importance of your constitutional rights. We truly care that we must get a client their desired result. If your freedom is compromised in any way, you call us. We do immigration, state and federal criminal defense, personal injury, bankruptcy, DWIs, family law, real estate law. We want you to be confident in our ability to represent you.
Welcome back, folks. Welcome back. You're at the Hostile Zone with your one and only humble correspondent, Eric A. Sinati, accompanied on the show, special guest, Sean Kelly, correctional police officer with the salute, and founder, CEO of Project 201 out of New Jersey. We've been having some wonderful conversation and insight. So I'm going to move forward, Sean, with some more stuff, and we're going to get some dialogue, okay, as we've been going. Sean Kelly's approach to Project 201's mission is very unique. Like I said, he is a law enforcement officer, so he brings firsthand insight from criminal justice, from the nitty-gritty of criminal justice, seeing really some of the worst things, that atrocious things that are going on inside of a jail. And he's seeing some very young people, 18, right, coming into county jail that really are not even mentally 18 yet, but they are adults according to the law. So he's bringing this, all of this into this program. And he's bringing a very other important part, like he was saying, bringing a male role model, a father type, big brother type experience. And he's incorporating what kids care about, sports, something that excites them, something that they can burn up some energy and at the same time see the positive influence. And also, I think what's great, Sean, is that you are a police officer because they'll see you in uniform when they're at this program too, and they will get a different view of the police department, I hope, in their communities, because not all police are bad. I know I report on it on this show a lot. 99% of law enforcement are top grade people. You know, it only takes one idiot to ruin it for everybody. So you are in a very humble leadership position to not only impact these kids' lives personally with your influence as a positive role male model, right? A role model, but also you're actually like an ambassador for police department. You are the definition of community policing. How does that sound?
That sounds great. You would like to think so sometimes, and especially through the things that we do here, right? You don't see that on the TV too much.
Right.
They show that. And there's a few good officers. I want to give a big shout out to my boy, Danny Rivera, Officer Bookham. He's been out there doing that for years.
Officer Bookham.
He's with the Hudson County Sheriffs.
Very nice.
There's a lot of dope people out there.
I like the guys in Hudson County. They got some great people there, man.
Right.
Unique. Like it's a unique county. What do they say? Dead people vote in Hudson County still, right?
It's an amazing place to be because it's very diverse.
It is. Until you leave there, you don't really realize the diversity there. And post 9/11, Jersey City now is the new hub. The Jersey City waterfront.
Yeah.
I was a 9/11 responder. So after 9/11, Jersey City, the waterfront, they really built that up and to become the new financial thing. So that is you're in a very great area. Also, I've taught at New Jersey City University right there in Jersey City, right by you. So let's get some more statistics here. Because he has this direct insight with criminal justice and all this stuff. So this Project 201, which I love the name, by the way, I really do. He's going to use the mentorship and building a relationship with the youth, and then provide alternative place for them to go and talk and engage in activities. You're going to also network them with other services in the community, if I understand correctly, right?
Right. So currently,
and you want to reach the whole family. You want to get the whole family, if you can.
Right. We don't want to just help the kids because the kids got to go home.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's kind of like when you put somebody on parole. They go back to their community, right?
Exactly. So when I grew up, I don't like to keep going back to where I grew up, but I could. These are where I got my experiences from and made me who I am today. A strong mother and father, aunts and uncles, right. Coaches, right? People that were there.
They really make a difference, the coaches, baseball coaches.
Going on vacation, going down the shore, going to Six Flags, going out to eat, right? Things that a lot of kids don't get to do no more.
A baseball game. I volunteered as a mentor for years in several programs, one of which was in Hudson County. And I used to take the kids to Yogi Berra Stadium at Montclair State to watch a minor league baseball game.
Right.
And they would give me the ticket. I'd call ahead and they'd give me tickets for free. I mean, these are the great things that you could be doing. And these kids would be exposed to culture and different things outside of their community.
And nowadays, being that the culture is so different, like you said, with the cell phones and everything going on, we want to be able to teach the kids more life skills stuff, maybe cooking, learn
Thank
how to
cook. Balance a checkbook, which is not the same, but still, they got to understand what
stuff we never learned in school.
Without money.
I didn't learn in school. I wasn't taught that. You know,
they don't teach
some of us that are good athletes in our areas don't even have to do schoolwork.
No, they don't. I went to a D1 school. I know what you're saying. Forget, I taught at some of the universities.
You know, a lot of kids could have went far, but we didn't do nothing in high school because we were good in sports.
Right, right.
So that's why I like to focus on all youth matter.
Right.
That was my hashtag for a while. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, we all at that age.
Let me ask you another question. Women, are you going to be providing big sisters if there are women in the system?
100%. We were not, and boys and girls.
Boys
and girls, we want to be able to make sure. See, I seen a video. I went to a seminar. It was a bullying seminar. And I was expecting to see boys in the school bullying each other. But it was a young girl, maybe in grammar school, going home, telling her mom about her day. And her mom was too busy cooking, cleaning. And they were showing a form of bullying. So, yes, we have a few female coaches. We are not that big yet as an organization because we are still growing and still building our foundation. We're looking for mentors.
Right, I was going to get to that. Hold that thought. I'm going to give you a spot at the end because we have some people that want to give you things that I've already organized for you. And I want you to put out what it is you want so I can give a call to or action to all our viewers and listeners.
I love
so they can get in touch with you and help you. So we'll get to that. We're going
to
get
Shout
there.
Shout out to whoever.
We're going to have that moment.
On the
What's that? Okay, so not only is he going to be doing this mentorship, but he has the law enforcement connection, but he's got the roots in Hudson County, which I guess if you're not from the area, you don't really realize Hoboken is Hudson County, the city with the most bars in the country in 1 square mile, right? Is that what it is? 1 square mile, right. The most bars? Unbelievable. Great times I've had there. We can go off there. That and we can hit about Jersey Shore, but we'll talk offline on that one. that would be a great place for a fundraiser. Jenks, we'll talk.
I like it.
Anyway, so but because it is such an interesting community, Hudson County, the way the dynamics are in the communities are so very well connected communities, they really know each other still in that county compared to other places still. Am I right? I mean, like people like they know I don't want to name specific town, but everybody knows the people of these towns still very well. That if you're a kid in that town, they know your family. I mean, 100%. It's like still the 1950s there.
You hung out in Jersey City, you hung out in Hoboken. If you hung out in Bayonne, you might have hung out in Jersey City and Union City. And I love to move around because I went to school in Jersey City. I was born and raised in Jersey City. I went to high school in Bayonne for two years, and then I went to high school in Union City at Union Hill.
I love Bayonne. Bayonne has their own really nice community there, just really, really good Italian, a lot of a big Italian. Of course, I like that Italian stuff. A nice Italian community, but not that we don't include everybody, but they're really community minded there. You should run for office there. Keep that in mind.
Well, mayor one day.
I might be calling you Mr. Mayor one day, Mr. Mayor Kelly. I don't know. I like that you're from the local community, and that's why I said that, because the community, the streets there are really like no other. And you could take that connectivity and bring that into the families, which I think are huge.
Right.
Also, I think your law enforcement, you will bring a positive influence to some people maybe that made a negative influence. And we know that there's been some bad news recently about people doing things they shouldn't do in uniform. Body cams and cell phone cameras are a great thing and not always a great thing.
Fair, because, firm,
you know, and people can edit and you never know, right?
Fair, firm, and consistent, and you won't have a bad day.
Very true. Very true. But the problem is that people edit and they take it out of context. You know what I'm saying? So a cell phone video becomes, I'll remember, I studied in law school the Rodney King trial, right? Remember that video Rodney King in LA created the whole LA riots? Yes, there was a terrible thing. Terrible, terrible thing. But you were watching a camera, and this was early on, or obviously in the 90s, long before everybody had a camera on their thing. But you don't know what really occurred before that conversation, the whole narrative of everything. And I think that's what cameras sometimes maybe don't offer the best.
At the Ramrown Law Firm, we understand the importance of your constitutional rights. We truly care that we must get a client their desired result. If your freedom is compromised in any way, you call us. We do immigration, state and federal criminal defense, personal injury, bankruptcy, DWIs, family law, real estate law. We want you to be confident in our ability to represent you.
Welcome back from the commercial, folks. Thank you very much. Always, without you, we are nothing. We thank you for your support, because your support is what allows us to be on your TV and radio 7 days a week. Remember that. We were talking about Rodney King for a minute and videos. Now, again, I want, for the bots and trolls out there and all my wonderful people that think they're editing pros, they're going to take and shop this out, Sean, and they'll put it with me saying that, like, you support something, you don't. So that was the whole point of what I was saying with videos. We are not saying what happened with Rodney King was a good thing. We're saying that videos can only show the perspective of that angle and whomever provided it, hoping that they didn't make any changes to it. That's what we were saying before the break. And that is what I want to pontificate, is what we were saying. We were not saying any other particular activity was encouraged. Am I right, Sean?
100%. No to bad cops. Us police, we must police the police.
Right. Thank you. And that is what this show started, pulling the veil back on waste, fraud, abuse, and police misconduct. But I got to be honest, the studies around the country, really, New Jersey is very, very highly rated in not being ones that violate rights. They're actually very, very good, honestly. And you're one of them, but you know that. Jersey's one of the, New York City, the best area of law enforcement professionals, well-educated people, a lot of great ethics, you know, a lot of politics get you in the job and everything, right? But at the end of the day, they really honor, respect, and rights, at least in the statistics from what I've seen. Shout out to that, to New Jersey. So we're going to talk about another thing about is important with you, and it's important with me, is the disproportionate impact on minorities in criminal justice system. We're going to, and however you want to identify it, Black youth, African-American, whatever term, because I want to be politically correct, right, Sean? We don't want to alienate anybody. Black youth, African-American youth, whatever. Youth of color are 5 times more likely to be detained than white youth, or even Hispanic youth. Did you know that? That is an interesting fact. As a Department of Justice fact, got that from the DOJ, Black youth are 5 times more likely to be detained than white and Hispanic youth. Is that crazy? I pull out and I put facts. We do fact, you know, we bake it on fact. That is an alarming number. Are you seeing that? I mean, well, you see them on the inside, but you get them when they're current, when they get, see, New Jersey's got different bail laws. So, but are you seeing an uptick in minority numbers by you?
I mean, I think it's difficult to judge in the demographic that we are in the community.
Right, because the populace is, right.
So predominantly most of the inmates that come in are Black or Hispanic. But we do get all different ethnicities from white, you know, right. Everybody comes in. We used to have ICE in our jail. We used to have the detainees.
Yes, I remember that. I remember that was a big argument. The counties made a lot of money on that.
I think it's difficult to navigate on the numbers of different ethnicities that are getting locked up. But right. Yeah, the predominancy of it is in those communities. From my experiences of just working in the jail and asking these questions, it's a lack of the father in the home right. In these communities. So you see predominantly more of one demographic.
I absolutely agree. And I have something that's not in my notes, but I was thinking about it. And I talked to somebody literally during the show that messaged me back from Washington, D.C., based on our conversation today. How do you feel about D.C. overlooking legislation and programming to really combat these issues, to really address them?
I don't think it matters that D.C. would be overseeing. I think it matters
for funding purposes, if they get involved and it forces the states to do something. That's what I'm saying.
It's a lot of people in the wrong positions that never worked. If you never worked in a certain profession, and it's difficult to say, but like jail is just a different animal.
And people don't get New Jersey like we do. You'd be surprised who ends up in a position that has no business ever being in that job, but politically they got it, and that's it. You could be a police. Now, what they changed the rule in New Jersey from civilian police directors to take over for a chief, meaning they don't need to be sworn law enforcement, but they're the director. They are essentially the chief of police. And they could be anybody appointed to do that by the mayor and council of that town.
And just to be clear, we as law enforcement as a whole need more training, on the job training, because you can't prepare nobody for the things you see. And I can't speak about on the street. I can only speak about inside the jail.
I think you're making a great point. And I had another idea for you that was spending me there to get me there. And it's not in my notes. How about a police explorer program or a cadet kind of program that you would actually have, like for fire department, even like an explorer type program?
Those programs would be amazing, right? And in my experiences, again, just my experiences alone, you have to make sure you put the right people running these programs, because there's a lot of nepotism and fraternization going on in these departments. And
very, very true. And that's what happens.
And it's any profession, right? But sometimes in this, from what I'm seeing, we need to make a change. And this is a world.
We get more than 3 million live listeners and viewers nightly. So I think everybody's going to hear your message. If your message to resonate all over the internet on every podcast and iHeartRadio, what is your message to America's?
You're not alone.
So what's interesting is, we were saying how the five times more greater to be taken into custody. And New Jersey folks, for people that don't know, New Jersey juveniles are taken into custody. They are not arrested. They're not charged with crimes. Juveniles are taken into custody. And when juveniles are brought to court and they go to family court, not regular criminal court, they go to family court. If they are to be found responsible for what it is that they've done, they are found to be a delinquent. They are adjudicated. They're not convicted. In New Jersey, you're adjudicated, and you're adjudicated to be a delinquent. And the delinquent might be whatever it is that you've done, but you did not commit a crime. A crime was not committed. It's a juvenile offense, and that's not criminal. So mind that to folks out there with juvenile histories. You're not a criminal. And New Jersey doesn't have felonies, and they don't have misdemeanors. They have indictable offenses and disorderly persons offenses. New Jersey is very different. I could do a whole show on that. But right, Sean, these kids should know that they are not a criminal right off the bat when they get picked up by the police.
Right. We got some dudes I was talking to on the job the other day, and there was two inmates in one cell, side by side. One guy was 21. One guy was 51.
We call it aging out. Especially when they came through like the foster system or child protective services or whatever, there's an aging out. And there is supposed to be, even in criminal justice, the 18 to 25 population needs to be not with the career criminal. Because I've always felt, and you could answer this, and I'm not a correctional law enforcement person, but I have experience working in and out investigating cases. Corrections is an institution of higher learning for the criminal mind. Am I right or wrong?
Supposed to be.
Right. I mean, they come there it's supposed to be rehabilitation, right? I mean, there are two philosophies in this.
Let me tell you, I'm going to blow your mind right here. So
yeah, blow my mind. Let's do it. Give it to us, Sean. The whole world.
What I noticed in my jail is everybody's on drugs, prescription drugs. So what? I started to question inmates, like, why are you taking
what kind of prescriptions? What kind? I'm interested. Talk to me.
The main one is Remeron, right?
Remeron.
They call it Remeron. Maybe it's called Remeron.
Yeah, so now it's for psychotic reasons.
Right. Yeah. Now you got a lot of these inmates just doing it just because they want to beat their case and think they're crazy. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do know what
you mean. And it's affecting and it's affecting them in the long run. So I started asking questions. And then now fast forward 3 years later, because I worked on the max tier. Now fast forward 3 years later, I'm in Rutgers Continued Education Program, who has a school to prison pipeline class you can take.
Right. Also, and by the way, I looked up Remeron. I can identify what it is for you exactly if you like when you're done talking.
Leads to the behavioral assistant course that all they teach you about is drugs they put kids on. So right. It's like, hold on, we don't take them.
Everybody's got attention deficit disorder now too, right? Yeah. Oppositional defiant. I read it all the time too. So just so you, for our listeners and viewers, Sean, I don't want to cut you off. Listeners and viewers, Remeron. Remeron is the brand name of a medication, and it is used to treat. It has, and they do off-label stuff, meaning like it, you know, Viagra was actually a blood pressure medication, and they realized it had a side effect. Hence, right, we know what it all does. So Remeron, what they call it off-label, meaning when they realized certain side effects were actually positive for other things. So Remeron was actually prescribed for anxiety and insomnia, but they noticed that it works well with neurotransmitters, including serotonin and norepinephrine. And so it also has sedative effects. So all the things you were talking about. I didn't want to cut you off on that, but I felt we have a lot of people that watch and listen. They should know what it is.
So, hey, listen, this is your show. I'm just here for the ride.
Dude, it's your program, and I want to make sure we do it right. I want you to do the right thing for the people, so I don't want our listeners to ever not know what it is that we've been talking about. That's how we do it. I keep it real on here. I tell the facts. The facts are the facts. We tell the truth. Let me give you some more facts, all right, I got for you prepared here. That study, by the way, with the underrepresented was a 2020 study from the DOJ, specifically juvenile justice. Now, the United States accounts for nearly 25% of the world's incarcerated youth. 25% of the world. 25% of the entire youth incarceration population is the United States. What is that saying? Despite only representing 4% of the global youth. Think about that. Wow, that is big. 4%. The United States represents only 4% of youth of America. That's what our numbers compare to everybody. Up to date, by the way. John, up-to-date numbers, census and DOJ numbers, and World Health Organization. I get them from the United Nations. If we're only, the United States youth population is only 4% of the world's youth population, why are we 25% of incarcerated? Is that insane? That's why we need Project 21, and we need Project 201. We need that everywhere, not just in Hudson County, John. I mean, that blew your number away. Now, you were going to blow me away with something with the drugs? Yeah, I blew you away with that?
That is crazy, because I firmly believe wholeheartedly that no child deserves to ever see the inside of a jail.
And no, they don't. Now, when I grew up, I got brought down to the local police and put in the little holding cell to scare me. You know, that was a different world. I teach it as the station house adjustment.
I don't agree with the police being in the school systems. I don't agree with being called on children.
Officers. Right.
We need to do a better job as a whole.
At home. The community raises your kid. So you have to work with your neighbors. You have to work with your family. Extended families, right? Nuclear families.
That's why we're here, because we know for most single moms, it's hard enough being a single mom.
Right.
And then they have to work multiple jobs and do what they got to do. So they need help, right? And then now we're talking about the kids we see in the juvenile justice system.
You are such a valuable program. Honestly, you don't realize the level of what it is you're offering right now. You don't really realize. But tomorrow, when everybody hears this everywhere, It's seriously, honestly, I'm talking from the heart now. Maybe Kerry will edit it or not. You got a great program, and we're gonna push behind you, man.
Listen, man, I appreciate it because I truly feel like this is a higher power guiding me on this.
It is. It's a calling, dude. Like the shirts today, literally. Like right. It really is. It really is. And that fact about the 4%, U.S. representing 4% of youth worldwide, but we represent 25% of youth incarcerated. And we're supposed to be not a third world nation. We're supposed to be educated and money. Well, what are we doing? We should be giving money to programs like you, your programs, not providing people. Listen, I talk on and on about the people crossing the border in the South and people getting all kinds of tax dollar monies. And they came in here illegally when our children, and you're here to help them, and you're not even getting paid to do this. You're volunteering this program. We need to fund programs like yours. We should not be funding all these other programs. We should be funding programs like yours. So we raise leaders in this country to take us to the next level. That's what this country is missing. The streets are paved in gold, right? We need to teach that to this generation. And your program is the type of program that's going to do that.
They're our future.
I implore, and we're going to give you at the time, at the end. And I want you to know, we're doing this for you. We're creating a commercial for you. And we're going to air it on all our channels all the time, continuously. Folks out there, when I tell you go into the channel home screen on I subscribe, it's $2, I think, and 99 cents a month to be a premium member of the show. You get exclusive content. You'll get an autographed copy of my book that's coming out in like 4 weeks. And my next book as well, I will give you free if you sign up, because the subscriptions is how we help programs like Sean's program. So we can write a check to his program and can continuously help fund him so he could do the right thing. That's what your subscription is for, folks. So please reach out through the show, sign up for membership, or reach out to the information on the screen, and we will get you set up to help him. Whatever we can do, we're going to do. I got some sponsors we're going to talk about, but I got a little bit more information. Project 21, through your leadership, Sean Kelly, truly, your leadership. You're seeking to change the narrative of our future. You really are. And you don't realize how important it really is. It may seem small to you, Project 201, but it's big. This is big because you are doing something when others aren't. You are running towards the problem when others run away and look away. And I applaud you for that, sir. I do. You are empowering our youth with life-changing experiences to make sure that they recognize what crime is and how not to get involved. And where to go if you have no, don't rely on a chat bot on your phone. Go and see somebody like Sean. See somebody who's a leader in your community and ask him for guidance on how to handle a situation. Don't go on your phone and Google it. Don't go on and ask an AI bot, right? That's what you're here for.
100%. If we don't know the answer, we will help you find the right answer.
So I got some more information for you, and I love that. I teach that to my students. If I don't know the answer, I'll know it tomorrow and I'll never forget it. You can quiz me on it. I like that. More stats. 75% of juveniles released from correctional facility, 70%. This is a Department of Justice study, OJJDP, Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention, are arrested within 2 years of release. 70% are rearrested.
Yeah, wow. I see it.
Shocking, right?
We see grown men come get out. This and come back in the same day. I didn't believe it,
right?
But I've seen
Thank you. Revolving door, bro. Revolving door. And here's the thing: they end up back in the community that they came from, that got them in trouble. And that's again why your program is important, because you're going to be there when they come back.
100%. So I told the kid a few weeks ago. I said, "What happened?" He's like, "Oh, you know, chilling with my brother." I said, "We got to get away from your brother." Yep. Long story short, fast forward, I see him again. He looks worse than he did the last time. And I said, "What happened?" And you know what he said to me? He said, "Kelly, I kept hanging out with my brother." He already knew. But he knew. So they know. They
he
just
knew it. Right. So he heard you. But right. He needed that follow through. That's right. Why we need to get you funding. We need to get you staff. Because that's what it is. You made the difference. He saw it. And he knew it. But you didn't have what you needed to help the follow through. And I hope that's what's getting you out here today and the commercial that we're going to give you and everything is what
I love that you said that, because I could tell you countless amounts of stories when I made, like when you talking to a grown man and you see them crying, right? Like me and you talking right now and I'm just tearing. You right. know that you got to that person.
You feel it. I know what you're saying, because I feel it.
I really want help. And that doesn't happen with everybody.
No, and you know what? I can see, besides knowing you and mutual friends, I have a passion. And it makes people, a lot of people dislike me because of that. But I don't care, because I've helped a lot of people. And you too. And you pay for it. You know you pay personally too. Right, people are bother you too, right or wrong.
And not even with that, but you pay for it from your family, because you pay for family time, things that you might want to do in your life, but you know that this is something it's just a calling. Like
you cannot stop. If you're in this business, and you are, when you start getting more clients, kids, when that phone rings at 3 a.m, you're getting up, and you know you're not getting paid for it, but that kid relies on you. Now, I personally had a mentor growing up myself. I did. He worked at the United Nations. Shout out to Bob Bruno. Worked at the United Nations. Rest in peace, Bob. I stayed friends with him for life. And he introduced me and got me to love what he did, military and the United Nations, which spun my career. And then I ended up mentoring a young lad who my executive producer had on the show. We met, remember, Dimitri? Who talked about how I changed his life, and he joined the military 20 years later. Here he is now following in my footsteps. And he's actually in Jersey. I'm setting him up with you because I mentored him through that same program you worked for that we'll talk offline. But anyway, it's great stuff. It's just passionate. It's a passion. We're going to do all we can.
I appreciate that. We're going to edit a little bit of this nonsense out,
but I mean, I'm on your side, dude. So Project 201's mentorship approach focuses on building the long-term relationship, right? But offers the stability and guidance at the moment of an emergency with follow-through, like you said, incorporating the family, making sure they're engaged. And that is what I think is going to make your program far superior than others. Others are, like you said, a drop and go. Do it and go home. You got to have a passion for this. You got to love it. You got to love it. You're breaking the cycle. Education and juvenile justice. Unbelievable. Youth in juvenile detention have significantly higher dropout rates. 60% of them are not returning to get their diploma. What a shame. Terrible. We should talk about creating curriculum. We should write curriculum on that. I've written curriculum and I teach it. We should write a program for kids.
Listen, I have a few curriculums I already have. We could sit down and talk.
Let's make it move. Let's lock it in with one of the universities.
I am here for the kids, man. I'm here. They got somebody. I'll tell you a great story.
Yeah, tell me.
I ended up getting injured and having a surgery. I played sports my whole life. Right. Up until I got hurt.
I told you I played D1 too myself.
Right. I was playing flag football and softball and everything till I got hurt. When I got hurt and I couldn't play no more, John Madden passed away, right?
I played the game. Yeah, John Madden football.
When John Madden passed away, I said we lost Coach Madden, but we gained Coach Kells. And that's when I became Coach Kells. That's when I started doing all of this. That's when everything started coming to me, my visions.
I got something for you you're going to like. Shout out to Derek Jeter. Kerry, remind me to reach out to him. Derek Jeter, obviously, we were talking Yankee Mets. I'm sorry, Yankees all the way. Derek Jeter, hands down, one of the best that you had. What a mentor. We got to get him out there. Him and Mariano Rivera, I'll reach out to him. He actually owns his car dealership. I'm going to reach out to him tomorrow and see if we can put something together with these guys.
Listen, I'm here.
Because they are, and you're bringing up coaches. Joe Torre, I always thought was a great, he raised, and listen, Jeter never got in trouble, man. He literally was like, the best of the best. You know, whether he did things behind closed doors, you never saw him in the paper anywhere. You didn't read about it.
Used to take us all to the Baseball Hall of Fame, all the fellas in
Cooperstown.
We go camping every year to Cooperstown.
So let's get a community event set up. We're going to talk offline. I like that. I didn't mean to cut you off. I apologize. There is a delay. Let's do an event immediately. I'll start getting tickets for something. We'll work on that immediately. And a fundraiser.
I'm with everything for the kids. I'm with everything. I actually reached out to the Mets, right? So anyway, She threw out the first pitch. She threw out the first pitch at Citi Field, and I called them, and I said, how does somebody like me doing what I'm doing get to throw out a first pitch when this is just an internet sensation? Like, and I found out you have to pay for tickets. You have to sell like 500 tickets.
Right. So I just thought, when you're iHeartRadio though.
No, right.
We'll edit that part out, but a phone call, we can make this happen. They have fundraisers.
I'm looking forward to doing some dope stuff. It's gonna take me some time to get more comfortable. Because right. the last couple of years and everything that I've experienced.
You can't trust nobody for shit, bro. You can't
but
trust
not even that. It's not that even out. That. It's just you work so hard to make sure you do something that's genuine and authentic.
And then somebody ruins it for you.
They ain't going to ruin it. You can't ruin it.
But they try. They try. But I call them bots and trolls.
Right.
Like you were saying before, the chat ruins it.
At the Rant Round Law Firm, we understand the importance of your constitutional rights. We truly care that we must get a client their desired result. If your freedom is compromised in any way, you call us. We do immigration, state and federal criminal defense, personal injury, bankruptcy, DWIs, family law, real estate law. We want you to be confident in our ability to represent you.
Welcome back, folks. So Project 201. We were just talking about the juveniles at 60% dropping out who are in juvenile detention. But here's another reason why you need to support Project 201. They actively promoting educational engagement. Again, the full wraparound. He has his program, Sean's program, has the full wraparound approach. The community, the sports, the education, the family, the whole thing. He cares about the sports, but you want to make sure that they're up to date, right? You're paying attention to their academics. You're asking them how they're doing, right?
Correct. I like to do the progress reports and see what's going on in the actual school, as right. well as what's going on in the home, right? So we could help them
all. Absolutely. And that is what we program is just over the top. So here is Sanati's cost analysis on why Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention, the New Jersey JJC Juvenile Justice Commission, the Hudson County Youth Services Commission, the Hudson County Freeholders Board of Commissioners, and the chairman and executive director need to listen. Economic investment versus community investment. Incarcerating a juvenile for 1 year costs $214,000 a year. Compared to just $12,000 per child for an educational program. There is one reason right there, New Jersey and Washington, D.C., Department of Justice, Juvenile Justice Delinquency. Why spend $214,000, just like my beginning quote, fix a broken adult, when we can spend $12,000 working on children through wonderful programs like Project 201, which is far less money. And we are building a better human being for tomorrow, not repairing one that we've destroyed previously. So Project 201 represents a very, very cost-effective alternative to community-focused engagement and empowerment, which is true growth in America. And you are at the forefront, Sean, for growth in America. You are a leader. Hands down to you. What do I say? Hello, governor. Or my favorite line,
in your face.
You heard that?
I like it.
Nice. All right. So another stat moving in here. Mental health and trauma in youth. More than 70% of youth in juvenile justice system have mental health disorders that are linked to trauma. Not over-medicating like you're saying. We're talking literally linked to trauma. We could go back and look at child protective cases and see you had an open case. And then go into Promise Gavel or NCIC, SCIC, CCH, one of those programs, and you could compare and say, wow, they had an open CPS case as a kid. They were abused. Single parent household. Here it is. And here they are 10 years later in the National Crime Information Computer or whatever. You can see the direct correlation, which is why you need to be in the middle. Programs like yours need to be in the middle. So that one statistic doesn't end up on the other chart.
Correct. And I took a class through Rutgers Continued Education Program, Ethics of Trauma. Learned a lot of great information from that as well. So a lot of us mentors in the community really have to be educating ourselves. It's not just easy money.
Right. It's not, this is nothing easy money about this, bro. You know that, dude.
Well, and
there's nothing
like,
easy about you being a correctional police officer either, bro. You don't get paid enough.
Not at all.
You work crazy hours. You put your life on the line and you put your weapon down when you go in there.
Correct.
That's what people don't know, that you go into prison and you are no more armed or less. You're probably less armed than the inmates because they got every kind of tool that they can make to hurt you. But you're under the watchful eye, never to touch them.
And that's why I do my job to the best of my ability so that one day, God forbid, if there was ever something that was going to happen, I know that the inmates, the inmates would have my back because
that's it. That is it. Right.
Factor. And not saying that would even happen, but that's
how. And you chop it up with them, and our friend does too. And we all have the same philosophy.
Well, not even being friendly. It's just more about respect because regardless of what
you did, you hear their story.
It's humanizing. It's empathy.
Right. You don't look at, thank you, empathy. You're not looking down. You're trying to understand how they got there because they don't want to be there. Something led them there. Now, yeah, there are a certain percent, and I reported on a show on that, that are just people that do terrible things because they like it. But a lot of people end up because of circumstances, and they wish they can go back. They can't.
Right.
Very hard. And with the internet age, it's so hard to undo.
Even those severe cases were probably really severely traumatized as a youth, right?
Yep.
Because I don't believe, and nobody can make me believe, that there are kids that are born that are bad kids.
I don't think so.
No. Along the way, something happens.
Something happened that will affect them.
Yes.
During their cognitive development time period.
100%.
All those neurotransmitters are supposed to be connecting and firing properly. Something happened that made that mess up. I teach it. I agree with you 100%. We are coming to the end. So this is what I want to do. I want to say that you're driving the future. You're dedicated. You've been pushing this. And I know that you buried a lot of your own money to make this for the kids. So I appreciate that. And we're going to do what we can do for you. You have a lot of people helping you. Who's your biggest team player right now?
My biggest team player? That would be my wonderful, amazing lady. And she's
Thank you. I was waiting for that. Because I know that she has to be, right? Because you're putting a ton of hours. And I know with my life, a ton of hours. You need somebody to be helping you. Right. Otherwise, you can't do it.
The support. So, and this is something else that I really want to teach the next generation. I saw the love and support that my mother had from my father and all the things and struggles and stuff that he went through. Right.
Right.
I now firmly see what it means to have somebody supporting you and being there for you. Right. And
you really, really are well organized, my friend. You are truly a gift to the community.
Thank
you. I want to take this. I want to thank you for your service in law enforcement. I want to personally thank you. I want to thank you for your love of the community. And I want to thank you and your wife for taking money out of your family's budget to help build this program. So before I go into my conclusion, here is your few minutes. What are the things you need most? And listen, if you're listening, folks, wherever you're listening or watching, here, because this is a program that will make a difference in all communities. It's starting here, but doesn't mean it can't go further. Tell them what you think you need right now that we can work on, my listeners and viewers, and we can do to help your program right now.
The main thing that our program needs, just like any program, is funding.
Funding,
the more
right.
funding we have.
And that could be through, you have merchandise shirts too, right? For sale?
Right. Well, we just made some shirts. Yes. Project 201. We're taking donations.
Right. And folks, just get on my show and sign up for premium so I can write them a check.
So what we did was we were blessed by the Bayonne Elks Lodge to give us a home base. So once a month, one Sunday a month, we're going to run a mentorship program because I can't afford to run it every day. Right. So the more funding that we get, the more programs we can run, the more kids we can give safe spaces to.
Safe space. I like it. Right, that's like back in the day, we had the helping hand. Remember those in New Jersey?
Right.
Look for the helping hand in the window. Nowadays, you couldn't do that because people would make them up and put them in your window.
We used to have like Fun Quest. We used to have stuff on Friday night. You don't see no
basketball. They don't have that.
There's no more basketball hoops up in the
school. Yeah.
Anymore. Like,
I went to prayer group on Sundays, and that's where all the teenage kids went on Sunday nights.
Right. So now we're going to develop the new
and improved Boys and Girls Club. Like a youth dropping center.
Anything, coaches, mentors, anybody that wants to be a part of this movement, you're more than welcome to reach out to me.
I say school board should reach out in New Jersey. You understand how the school board, they have a separate budget from city council in New Jersey?
Listen, man, I've been to Bayonne school board meetings and let them
Bayonne said no?
I've been to the Hudson County commissioners meetings. I've been to Union City Board of Education, and I have kids in these programs.
Really? Did you talk to Senator Brian Stack? Mayor Brian Stack?
He sent me to the Board of Ed, yes.
Because he really is big on this stuff.
So that's why me and you ended up connecting in this realm to do this because I said, I'm not going to kiss nobody's behind.
Right.
The kids in the community because I really want to help kids. So I'm going to keep building my organization and raising awareness for
what we're going to do everything for you, man. We're going to push for you all the way. What is there anything else you want to ask for or say or anything?
We just thank. Well, yeah, I would love to say something to you.
Yes.
I would like to say thank you for everything that you have done for the juvenile justice system and commission and the youth in the community. I really am blessed to have the opportunity to sit down and speak to somebody about what I'm trying to put together, me and my team are putting together. Vibe that I've gotten over you since we've been talking is somebody that I would love to talk more about how you can be a part of Project 201 and our team.
I would love to be a part of your project in whatever capacity, even if it's just giving you commercials and trying to push fun.
Not even that, man. Helping us grow up mentally.
I would love to run a Sunday program and do public speaking engagements with you. I can ask my publicist to help set these up for us, too.
There's a lot of things that we all can do. Each one, teach one.
Actually, I also do EMS instruction and CPR. We could do one of those on your Sunday. We could do a training and you can raise money with the community, too.
Listen, I'm here for whatever to make my community better because
I'd be willing to volunteer the training.
My father died buying this house, right? So I don't think I'm going anywhere. And if I'm going to raise.
That's the Hudson County feeling. That's what the way you said that is Hudson County, New Jersey, man. Nobody understands that unless if you're one of us.
Right. This is his legacy. And again, like I said, if I'm going to have a family here, I'm going to do my best to make my community better. And not just my community, but communities throughout New Jersey and then throughout our country.
I really appreciate, Sean, you being on the show. Thank you. I do want to be involved in any way I can. Serving, volunteering, and helping you raise money. I am there, whatever you need, all the way. This station, my shows. I got another show coming out. We're launching. What's the name, my executive producer, of the new show coming out? The new syndicated show, 5 days a week, iHeart. What is it, Perry?
It's Unplugged with Eric A. Sinati.
And that is specifically discussing the justice system, breaking down cases. That's where you will be a guest very often as a contributor to come on and discuss your program and your ideas of juvenile delinquency in the community on that new show.
I love it.
I think you'd be a great fit to come in on that. With that, folks, we thank again Project 201 out of New Jersey, Hudson County. Shout out a phone number for them. Call it out on the radio. How can they reach you?
You could reach me at 201-725-5062, or you could shoot us an email at project201inc@gmail.com.
Okay. Say that number again, and then we'll make sure it's up on the screen for our viewers. But our listeners, say the number one more time, nice and clear.
You can reach me directly, Coach Kells. If you're having an issue, you want a mentor, you want a coach, you want to know about the programs we're running, you can reach me at 201-725-5062.
Outstanding. And the rest of my fans out there on TV and radio, you know you can reach this show at any time, and I will set you up with this wonderful program. Anything we can do to help you, we can. And I have a sponsor that I'm going to tell you about after the show that's ready to bring you some sports equipment. So with that, folks, thank you for being out here again today. Let me close this out here. Project 201, under the inspiring leadership of Sean Kelly is more than a program, folks. It is a transformative force, a transformative force. Now, remember, when there's a force, there's always rough waters. People don't like a force, but generally, forces are for good. Here is a force for good in New Jersey, and hopefully it's going to transform further. His commitment to mentorship through sports, education, peer support, emotional support, healthy lifestyles and pathways to a brighter, safer future is profound. It's inspiring for our youth, and we can't thank him enough. And folks, if you are out there, you need to contribute and help programs like this, because this is what allows us Americans to be here for the next generation. We need today's youth to know what our parents knew so we got here. So we need people like Sean and his team to show our kids what it is that our parents showed us, so we're here. We need Sean. I thank that. So what is Sinatti's call to action? 360 times 365. 180 degrees forward, 180 degrees backwards, 360 degrees. Your head on a swivel times 365 days a week, folks, because you know what? Danger and the bad guy does not take a vacation. Neither should you. Okay, folks, neither should you. They don't take a day off. You don't take one out. With that, in closing, I always thank my executive producer, Carrie, Seabrook Films LLC. Much appreciated. Thank you to Donald Newsom and the Newsom, the rest of the Newsom crew, and the rest of my production team. Shout out to Angelo over there and production. Shout out cameras, everybody. You're the best. Don't go anywhere, because you know what? We're going to move into the historical quote, and Sean's still with us. You're going to have to do the corny joke of the day with me. So the historical quote closing for the day. The best way to predict the future is to create it. The best way to predict the future is to create it. And we're creating a future right with Sean and Project 201. So, Sean, funny joke of the day. You ready?
Let's get it.
All right. Why did the mentor tell the mentee to stay away from the negative people?
Why?
Because they all have a problem for every solution. Anyway, folks, thank you again, Sean, for coming out. We're going to talk offline. Don't go anywhere after. Thank you. You're going to be back on plenty of times. Folks, don't go anywhere. Miss Bianca C is going to close us out with honor, pride, and glory. Stay with us, Sean. Let's go to Bianca.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early what so proudly we hailed at the twilight last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare, the balls bursting in air, get through the night, that our flag was still there.
And she's not going anywhere.
Oh, say does that star spangle that